Welcome once again, people, and thank you for tuning in. This is the Sports Underground Podcast with Baron Graff.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
There is no tomorrow.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
So let's do what we do tonight.
I will not lose.
And now, from the Westside Bungalow Studio in Venice, California, here's your host, Baron Graft.
Hey, hey, what is happening, folks? The Sports Underground back in the bungalow on the west side with my good friend, Ron Guerin. Watch out.
Coming to you live from
Coming
the west side.
From the west side. West side. West side. Okay, so... So a lot of stuff going on. I think this is really cool, right? Because the bottom line is I'm not recording in my garage. This is really the theme of the entire thing is I'm not in the garage. So that's a very cool thing. We got so much to talk about with, Selection Sunday having just happened. The play-in games start on Wednesday for March Madness for the tournament, coming up. And look, I mean, it's the same thing that I've always said about college basketball is realistically, these are a bunch of mediocre teams that all kind of look the same. I'm sticking with that position. Bobby Knight had an interesting take on it that I heard. I'll share that with you later. Definitely going to break down my first round matchups. There's a couple of things that I know about that you probably do, but I'm going to go over them anyways. A couple of things you might not have realized. Some stuff you absolutely, you have to know this before you pick your bracket because you'll get hurt if you don't. But before I talk anything basketball, really before I talk about anything even relating to actual athletic contest, I have to talk about something that really, really bothered me this week. In Steubenville, Ohio, there's this ongoing trial, if you will, this hearing for these two juveniles, these two boys that are high school football players in Steubenville, Ohio. And they're charged with a very serious crime. They raped a 16-year-old girl. They published photos of it. They bragged about it. It was just a bad deal. And the judge in Ohio came down with his ruling, and he convicted these guys, and they're guilty, and that's what they were convicted of. But that's not what, I mean, they got it right in terms of the sentencing and the conviction. That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is there's clips on YouTube right now that you can go find that are of the CNN news coverage of the trial, and it's really, really shameful, and quite honestly, it's absolutely enraging to watch how CNN covers this story because all that the CNN reporter talks about, Ron, through this whole thing is it's such a tragedy. These young men that had their whole lives in front of them and they were such good students and they were great athletes. And at no point in time do they mention the fact that, you know, hey, there's a 16-year-old girl here whose life has been completely altered. Like the trajectory of her life has been sent in a completely different direction. They're not talking about that. They're talking about, oh, how sad these guys are that their life is crumbling. And it's horrific. You have to see this. If you haven't seen this, you have to see. If you're not shocked by this, you might want to check your pulse. You're probably not alive. It's absolutely reprehensible. And what's shocking to me is that this is not a local news station. This isn't, you know, from the sports desk in Steubenville, a guy that, you know, is... This is CNN. I mean, this...
It's shameful. It really goes to show how far CNN has fallen from the journalistic tree. Because CNN now really doesn't even have a journalist department anymore. They are going for shock news. They want to be HLN. They want to be Court TV because that's where the ratings are. And unfortunately, CNN has to stoop to this lowbrow, common denominator reporting and put it in this context that you're talking about these poor young men whose lives have been tragically altered by their bad decisions. But it breaks my heart because there's absolutely no journalistic integrity with a network that used to be the thing. It used to be what journalism news, 24-hour news journalism was all about. And it's just so sad to see them play and lower themselves to this level, and especially with people that are just so young. And it's just, you're right, it's reprehensible. And if you are not deeply affected in a negative way by watching something like this, you don't have a pulse.
And I mean, I actually heard an interesting take on this, and it's probably what happened. So obviously, with this girl being 16 years old, they do not have they cannot show her face. They can't film her in the courtroom. That's part of the deal. So what I actually heard was that perhaps they were approaching it from this angle because this is what they could show, which I only half believe. I believe that might have been what they were doing with the camera work. But when the reporters are talking about it, and we'll use that term loosely, when they're talking about it, they're entirely approaching it from the aspect of the tragedy that's occurring in these young men's lives. And that's the whole problem. Like, hey, if you don't want your star athlete, good grade getting son to be labeled a sex offender, maybe teach him not to rape girls. I mean, just for, you know, a starter, just do that. Maybe we need to start examining the way that we're handling this problem on a deeper level. I mean, it's no secret that there's a huge problem with this across the board in athletics. And I got to say, my sister brings up an interesting point. It's one of these things where it's like if you're going to keep the faith, if you will, if you're going to continue to pick up the flag and soldier on in this fight for women's rights, what you have to take solace in this is that today, 2013, people are enraged by what they see. People are upset by what they see when this is covered. And it's true. I mean, I would venture to guess that, you know, maybe even as recently as like 10 years ago, something like this would not even be looked at adversely. Of course, they're talking about the impact of what's happening to these men. So I guess there's a silver lining is that some people are now upset about this. It's a good thing to be upset about, just like it's a good thing to be upset when, you know, the player from San Francisco is making homophobic slurs the day before the Super Bowl. Like it's good to be upset about that. It's sad that it's still happening, but at least there's an awareness occurring. So I guess you kind of gotta take it where you can get it.
I guess so, and I suppose it is kind of a double-edged sword because it has brought up the topic of really looking after and being a defender of women's rights, and it has caused an uproar and kind of an outrage. But if you needed any more reasons not to watch CNN, now you got one more. But let's get away from that madness and get to the real madness on the top of everyone's mind. And of course, we all know it's March.
So March Madness, and kind of an interesting transition there as well, under the heading of just because you throw a football well, just because you sink a bucket, just because you can play sports well, you're no longer getting a free pass, and I think that that's important. Under that heading, Ron, I think one thing that people need to know as they're filling out their bracket, I don't know if you know this or not. Some people don't. There's this kid from Akron. He got arrested. His name's Alex Abreu, and apparently Alex Abreu was caught with a copious amount of marijuana on his person. We'll just say beyond personal use, unless you're Snoop Lion.
He was holding. He was holding big time.
He was
William Holden.
He was pushing weight. That's what the kids say, I think. He's pushing weight is what they would say. Yeah, so Alex Abreu out of the tournament. So if you are looking at your bracket and you are examining the matchup there in the South region in the first round, do not pick that 12-5 upset. Akron will not beat VCU. Don't pick that one because Alex Abreu is smoked out of the tournament. I will promise you one thing. I'm not. Look, I say this every single year. I'm not a genius at this. I don't win. There's no rhyme or reason towards winning one of these, as proof by the fact that, like, there's a commercial right now about Phyllis who's, like, dominating her office pool. Like, there's no rhyme or reason towards winning this. It's completely random. The odds of actually picking it up are completely insane. But I will guarantee you this. I will guarantee you two things. By this time next week, there are two songs that you will be absolutely nauseated by. I mean, just absolutely, if you're not already fatigued by them, you're going to be absolutely sick. The first one, you might have heard this tune. It's by Muse.
I can't get these memories out of my mind.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me feel like wanting to burn one. Maybe we could get Abreu to come over.
Get Abreu. So this is Madness by Muse, and it's the official song of the NCAA tournament. So in and out of every CBS commercial break, that's what they're going to be playing. I promise you, this time next week, you would rather stick an ice pick in your ear than hear that song one more time.
I'm already tired of it.
You're already done.
Yeah, that was it.
Just mute the television.
Okay, got
just
it.
Just whatever you do, don't listen. There's another song, the second song, I think, and this is, I'm on a limb on this one. Now, you might also already have some fatigue on this one, but there's a kid that I think is going to play really well in this tournament for the Kansas Jayhawks, and his name is Ben McLemore, and I promise you there'll be a producer and a sound engineer for CBS that think they're really cute, and they're going to play this song for you every time he does something good. See it coming out of the drink.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Ben McLemore with the three-pointer, bringing Kansas to within two as we go into the halftime. I'm Vern Lund.
You know, that's exactly what you're gonna get. I just, call me crazy, but I really feel like this is going to happen.
I can buy into that song, though. At least that has got a beat on it.
Oh, it's got a beat. You can dance to it.
Okay. I could deal with that one. Just a few more times. I'm not sick of it yet.
You're ready to go dancing?
Yes,
well,
right
now. Let's dance, Daddy. Let's look at your bracket, okay?
All right.
So we're going to go through, and if you've got the bracket that everybody has, we'll move left to right, top to bottom. So we'll start in the upper left. In the Midwest, and there are a couple of picks in the first round here that there are a couple of games that I like, I don't love. I really, in the top part of this bracket, that Colorado State Mizzou game. Listen, if you're in Missouri, you have to have some serious questions about the hiring of head coach Frank Haith, right? Because let's do the linear math, right? Frank Haith was the coach at Miami. Miami, you might remember, is the 2 seed in the East region this year. That is a meteoric rise for a program. That is the type of turnaround in just a short time that Jim Larrañaga, the new head coach in Miami, has made. That type of turnaround has as much to do with coaching as it does with recruiting and players. So for me, linear logic, I have to say, what is it that Jim Larrañaga brought to the table for Miami that turned them away from being a team that's, you know, early first round, second round exit type of program to now they're, I mean, this team looks really dangerous in Miami. I have to look at that and go, if Jim Larrañaga with the same people that Frank Haith had can turn this into a 2 seed, I'm not so sure I trust Frank Haith to coach this Mizzou squad. Now, listen, last year, Mizzou made a lot of noise in the tournament. They were playing that four-guard, one-big kind of set, and nobody knew how to defend it. they're a little bit more rounded this year. So they're gonna look a lot more conventional. I'm just not sure. I mean, looking at that matchup, Missouri is the 9, Colorado State's the 8. I mean, for me, I think Missouri is the team that you're going to look at and you're going to recognize, and people are probably going to remember them from last year. These are not last year's Mizzou Tigers, folks. With the exception of Phil Pressey, you're looking at a lot of different guys. I feel like Colorado State's a little bit underrated. They've played a pretty tough schedule. And look, Pressey is no doubt a dynamic player, but he also has the tendency to turn the ball over a little bit. And in the tourney, you can't have that. So as much as everybody in my home state's going to hate me, I got to walk Colorado State past Mizzou in that first round. There are some questions, I guess, people have. Lower down in that bracket, another team from Missouri is St. Louis. And SLU is a very interesting story to me this year. This is a team that was engineered, that was built by the late Rick Majerus. And Rick Majerus is a brilliant college basketball mind. Never saw an all-you-can-eat buffet he didn't like, but brilliant basketball mind. And unfortunately for him, his passion for food was his downfall. He had heart problems his entire life. He built this team. And so this St. Louis team has a lot of juniors, a lot of seniors, a lot of guys that have been in that program, been groomed. They're playing on a lot of emotion, obviously. I really like this St. Louis team all the way to the Sweet 16. I really do. That's that bracket. I will say this. St. Mary's, if St. Mary's gets past the first round and makes it to that game with Memphis, I like that St. Mary's-Memphis upset. That's my upset pick on that. On that side, you also have to pay attention to the 10-7 Cincinnati Creighton game. I think a lot of people are going to take Cincinnati in this game, just based on name recognition of the program. Creighton, everybody looks at them. They're a mid-major. Okay, this is the team that won the Mountain West. This is the team that has a very dynamic scorer in Doug McDermott. A lot of people project him into the NBA. So I'll take the Creighton Blue Jays and I'll walk them into the next round. Then we get to some interesting stuff down in the Western region. Gonzaga is the number one seed in this region. I think that the tournament committee completely missed on this pick. I've looked at Gonzaga's schedule, and the question that I consistently have through all of this is, who has Gonzaga beaten? To me, they are a Mike Tyson contender, right? They fought a bunch of tomato cans. They beat a bunch of people that they should have beaten. They did so impressively. But when it really comes down to somebody who can actually go toe-to-toe with them, I'm not sure what's going to happen. That being said, they've got a fairly easy walk into the Sweet 16. That's where I think their run's going to end, and here's why. In this same side of the bracket, you've got a Wisconsin team that faces Ole Miss. Now, a lot of people are picking this 12-5 upset of Ole Miss jumping over Wisconsin here, and I really like Ole Miss. I don't want people to misunderstand. I really do like Ole Miss. The problem that I have is they've got this kid that's their point guard, and he's an electric player. I mean, let's not mix words. When Marshall Henderson heats up, the whole building knows it. He's also like the biggest troll in college basketball. I mean, he's like, he's got no problem like in Florida doing the gator chomp. Like, he will do anything to get under your skin. The problem is, Ole Miss won the SEC tournament. Yeah, there's pictures on the internet of him hammered drunk on Sunday night. That's showing up on Monday morning. I have to question if your floor general in Marshall Henderson, if this is the guy who's running the show on the floor, if he's hammered drunk on Sunday night, this is a short turnaround. You got maybe a couple of days to prepare.
Doesn't necessarily mean that'll continue to happen, but it does not bode well. Let's just put it that way.
Well, it doesn't mean he's going to drink all the way until tournament time, but me personally, I want the guy who's handling the ball, I want him watching film. I mean, that call me crazy, but that's what I want. And so for me, that's kind of a red flag. If it were the opposite, if the seeding was opposite and it was Ole Miss was the 5 and Wisconsin was the 12, I might feel differently, but I don't. I normally love the 12-5 upset pick. I don't love it this year. This is another one that I don't love because I think that this Wisconsin team is really scrappy. I mean, the Big 12 is a really good conference this year. Looking at the schools that are there, you've got Indiana, you've got Ohio State, you've got Wisconsin, you've got Michigan, you've got Michigan State. I mean, these are 5 really tough programs, and just Wisconsin, to me, looks like they've got the heart of a fighter, that they're going to scrap their way through. I like Wisconsin all the way to the Elite Eight. I like Wisconsin upsetting Gonzaga right now. Now, I will say this. My bracket's not finalized. So take everything with a grain of salt because, look, anything could change tomorrow, right? All it takes is one guy getting arrested with a trash bag of weed in his car and the whole game changes, right? Over in the South region, there's a really good example of this. The aforementioned Akron-VCU matchup. Listen, folks, walk VCU all the way, for me, at least to the Sweet 16, and then see what you think about VCU-Kansas, because Kansas, the one seed, gets no favors. I believe Kansas is going to face UNC in the second round, and that is going to be a dogfight. North Carolina has played much better down the stretch. This team has just matured and gotten better as the year's gone on. Roy knows how to coach him down there. So, and keep in mind, he used to coach Kansas, so that's going to be a huge, he's got that one on the calendar, I promise you. So I think Kansas could be exhausted by the time they get to VCU, and VCU is still a team that likes to push you. They like to run, they like to push it, they like to go. And if Kansas comes out with dead legs at all, watch out. The other game in this bracket, and nobody at the bungalow, and nobody in this region is going to want to hear this, but I'll tell you the upset pick I like. I like number 11 Minnesota over number 6 UCLA. I really, looking at the 11-6 matchups this year, that's where I like to see the upsets this year, because there's just it just seems more likely to me. UCLA, I mean, it's really kind of sad, but in the Pac-12 tournament, Jordan Adams broke his foot. And so he's out for the rest of the season. However long UCLA is going to play, he's done. He's not recovering in time to come back at all. And this is huge. It's really tough because he is their best defender. I mean, he is really the cog that spins their defense. And I heard an interview with Ben Howland. He's talking about how they're going to have some time to adjust for it. If they were playing a team that was coached by a lesser coach, I might be on board with this. I might be able to look at this and go, okay, maybe Coach Howland can get them past that first round by coaching them up. The problem is they're playing Minnesota, and remember, Minnesota plays in the Big 12. We've already talked about how tough that road is. And they're coached by Tubby Smith. He's coached a few games. And I don't see an experienced coach missing a weakness like that. I just don't see it happening. So I like Minnesota over UCLA. That's an upset pick I do like. It's all a bit of a moot point because I think either one of those teams loses to Florida there. At the bottom of this bracket, in the East region pretty much goes to the chalk for me. So I just looking at it, I really like this Miami team. They got Barry Larkin's kid, Shane Larkin, is their point guard. And this kid, I mean, this kid was born with the eye of the tiger. I mean, there's some crazy DNA in that Larkin family. If you start looking at that family tree and all of the athletes that are there, I mean, you're talking about Barry Larkin. There's a Hall of Fame player right there. And if you look at the era that Barry Larkin played in, not easy to get into the Hall of Fame in that era. And his kid is absolutely unreal. When this guy gets going, Katie bar the door. I mean, it's really crazy to watch. And like I said, this is a program coached by Jim Larrañaga, who has a lot of experience. I'm watching this team, and I just don't see any problems for them. I don't see how either Colorado or Illinois could surprise them in the second round. Looking at their Sweet 16 matchups, I like whoever they're going to get from that run. And that puts them in the Elite Eight, and you got to like them to play Indiana in the Elite Eight. And wow, if that's not a clash of styles games, I don't know what is. It's going to be crazy. But again, remember, I've just given you a rundown of all the regions.
Yeah, I'm just taking notes now. Sorry, I haven't really added much, but I'm just filling out my bracket right now as we go.
Go ahead and do that. You'll come in 18th in your office pool. But my point is this. I could just right now, I could easily go through this bracket, and I could easily give you reasons why 8 to 12 teams on this bracket could win the national championship.
And that's what makes it fun this year, I think. I think that anything can happen. Oftentimes there are, you know, maybe 3, 4, maybe even 5 teams that really have a solid shot. But it seems like this year it's wide open.
Well, I mean, listen, look, last year I think it was, I won't say it was a foregone conclusion, but I think most people last year had Kentucky winning the national championship. But I will say this, you had Kentucky, and then you had everybody else, and everybody else was in the even mix. And so with the whole one-and-done situation, I mean, it's just, it's a slippery slope you're walking. I mean, I don't know. People might forget, but I mean, this time last year, we were looking at Kentucky. Coach Cal's figured it out. He planted the magic bean. He's got the keys of the kingdom. He ate the right mushroom. He's got it. He's figured this whole thing out. And now look, where's Kentucky? Oh, you're not gonna find them on your bracket. They're playing in the NIT. And I mean, for Kentucky fans, I just, please hear my plea. Kentucky Wildcat fans, hear my cry. Step away from the sharp objects. Get down off the ledge. Nothing is worth this. You'll play again next year. Now look, I know it's heartbreaking that you're in the National Invitation Tournament. I know that's tough.
The first loser tournament? Is that what it is?
It's kind of like, I kind of imagine that it's like, I've always thought of it as like you're trying out for the generals. I don't know why, but I've always thought like that's like, the Washington Generals are watching real close. Like, there are teams in the EuroLeague that are scouting the NIT real regularly. So I feel bad for Kentucky because they're the defending national championships and champions, and they don't even have a shot at defending their title. To make matters worse, and only if you're from this region or pull for this team will you understand, and I'm going to try to put it into your terms, but Louisville, hated rival, in-state rival, coached by former Kentucky great Rick Pitino, number one overall seed, they're going to be playing in Rupp Arena. So that's brutal. I mean, just try to envision this, Ron. Like, your San Francisco Giants are the defending World Series champion. I'm sorry, you're going to have to play out the entire season in AAA. You're not even good enough to compete this year. And by the way, come fall, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who everyone believes is going to win the World Series this year, they're going to play all of their home games at AT&T Park. You're going to have to watch. And, oh, by the way, They got Juan Marichal to throw out the first pitch. Just for fun, that's what's going to happen.
No, so it doesn't sound like...
I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound like a good time.
By the way, we're going to fly all the flags Dodger blue in the park, too. And we're probably going to paint the bay in, like, the deepest blue. It's going to look like they do with the river in Chicago and Boston during the St. Paddy's Parade, only it's going to be all blue. Are you cool with that?
No, I'm not cool with that, damn it.
Are you cool with Think Blue at AT&T Park? They just put that up there instead of that. Are you good with that?
No, especially since even though it's spring training, we lost two games to the Dodgers already.
Feel the pain of the Kentucky Wildcat fan. Embrace the pain of the Kentucky
Wildcat.
Get
off the ledge.
Fan.
It's going to be fine. There's always next year, my friends.
The next time you see a Kentucky fan, just give them a hug. Just tell it's going to be okay. It's all right. It happens to everybody. Everybody does these things from time to time. So that's a tough deal. I'm also going to say one more thing. I do want to move to some other stuff here tonight, but there's one thing that I caught that really kind of, I won't say changed my perspective, but it's something that I hadn't thought of before. And I really thought, why the hell didn't I think of this before? You know, we've talked a lot about the one and done, like Kentucky. This is what happened to them. They had all these great players. They played one season. They won the national championship. See you later. It's been real. And now Kentucky can't make the tournament. And so it's this conundrum, right, of what do? You go, if you're Ben Howland, you have to go recruit, you go get the Shabazz Muhammad kid. Like, you have to try to attract that talent. And these kids are obligated to play in college for at least one season, which, if you think about it, if these kids are actually capable of playing at the NBA level, it's a little bit criminal. It's a little bit criminal to ask them to risk their health.
I 100% agree. I think that they should all be getting paid as soon as they are able to play in the NBA. Who knows what could happen in any college basketball season? They could get hurt. They could lose millions of dollars. Most of these people come from very difficult backgrounds. Most people don't really have an opportunity to make that type of money. And the United States is one of the very few countries in the world that does not allow teenage players to turn professional in these particular sports, basketball and football. They allow them to do it in other sports like tennis and gymnastics and things like that. Why not just allow these young men who are incredibly talented an opportunity to just turn professional? And I really do believe, and this is just me speculating, it's only my opinion, I do believe that there is a lobby that the college ranks have, that the universities have, that really want to continue to make that big TV money and help to influence these rules and regulations. I am in 100% agreement. If you're able to play in the NBA and you're a freakish 15-year-old, 6'5", two guard who can go out and knock it out, lights out, you should be able to play in the NBA and get paid.
And the interesting thing for me, you've basically just summarized the position that I've held on this for years, literally years. Yesterday, I changed this position, and it's because of something that I heard Bobby Knight say on ESPN. And you're close, as I was so close to it this whole time that I couldn't believe that I hadn't actually thought of it. Bobby Knight also brought up sports in which high school players are allowed to turn pro. And it's the answer's right in front of our face. It's been there for almost 100 years. It's baseball. So the rule in baseball is this. As a high school player, you can be drafted by a team. You can come out of high school and go into the minor league ranks. They can advance you as quickly as they want to. Reference Bryce Harper for this. You can be playing in the major leagues by your 20th birthday. It's not uncommon. It happens. And some players even younger than that. Mike Trout, very young player, playing in the professional league. Good enough, you play. Here's the interesting twist, and this is what Bobby Knight was talking about that blew my mind. Are you ready?
Lay it on me.
Put earplugs in because I don't want your brains to leak out of your ears. Good, you're wearing headphones. Okay, so here we go. Bobby Knight pointed out that high school baseball players have one of two options. Go to college, go to the pros. If you accept a draft, you lose your amateur eligibility, you go into professional baseball, boom, you're in the minor league system, you're gone. However, if you choose to go to college, you have to stay in college for 3 years before you're eligible to be drafted into the ranks of the major leagues. Now, if you look at basketball and you took it from this perspective of what if we said to guys, you're a senior in high school, LeBron James, you're a freak of nature. There's absolutely no need for you to play college basketball. There really never was. If LeBron James had played college basketball, Ohio State would have won the national championship every year he played there. He's that good a player. Witness Carmelo Anthony carried Syracuse in that tournament. Okay? So these guys that are unique talents that have the ability to immediately play in the NBA, you can go. However, if you have reservations, if you don't get drafted, you can be drafted and turn it down. As long as you don't hire an agent or take any money, you retain your amateur status, right? So if you commit to go to college, you're in for 3 years. Now, this would do two things. One, it would allow the truly elite players the freedom to go into the professional ranks. Two, it would restore the greatness of college basketball. Because here's the problem. The problem with college basketball today is that it's essentially like putting together an entire team of free agents that you're only keeping together for 1, maybe 2 years. And then you're bringing in another piece, another player. And you're never losing your role players, right? But you are constantly bringing in, it would be the equivalent of your favorite football team changing its quarterback, running back, and best wide receiver and middle linebacker every 2 years. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying it's probably not a good idea. And especially in a sport like basketball, where so much of it has to do with chemistry, I mean, people, this is why basketball was so great in the 1980s, in the 1990s. I mean, look at every single one of those teams that were great in the 80s and 90s, these legendary teams that you remember, those Kentucky teams you remember, those Duke teams you remember, I mean, the UNLV teams that you remember, and Georgetown, and all the teams before that, all of those teams were made up of guys who had been playing together in college for 3 and 4 years together. There's a reason that they worked well as a cohesive unit. They've been playing together, living together for that long. So it means something. And it wasn't until the Fab Five freshmen in Michigan, that's kind of when this shift all started. Was when it was like, oh, hey, there are guys that are out there that can do it like right now. And not just like one or two of them. There's a lot of them out there. That's kind of when this shift started. The pendulum has swung far too far to the other side. So I can get behind Bobby Knight. I'm not sure if I like 3 years. I think maybe we could go two. Maybe we go two. That makes a little more sense. But I really like this idea. Because you're also not punishing players like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis did not need to play a year at Kentucky. He really didn't. And God forbid you get hurt. You know, there's a player from Kentucky that got hurt this year. Pro prospect. Got hurt. Blew out his knee. Who knows what's going to happen in that kid's life.
Yeah.
And it's odd to me that we can, on one hand, look at this from this perspective, but the duplicity of the whole thing is really what bothers me, is that there seems to be no consideration for the student athlete. It doesn't seem like, it seems like the idea of student athlete is a myth completely propagated by the NCAA and by collegiate athletics.
I think across the board in all sports, it's that way.
The odd thing is this for me, right, is you can't have it both ways. So in football, the argument against a playoff system of any kind, a bracket playoff system, is, well, you can't do that because it interferes with finals. Guess what happened on Monday? Monday, just now. There were collegiate basketball players in class taking finals. Now, let me ask you this, Ron. You're the starting point guard for Syracuse. You've got an economics final, and you've got your round one game where you're playing Montana here in a few days. Are you 100% focused on economics, or is it possible you might maybe just be distracted by wanting to excel and play your best for what is essentially a job interview for the NBA?
Well, if this guy was anything like me, I would be looking for someone to either cheat off of or, you know, have somebody else do it for me, or like sort of try to intimidate some, you know, nerdier kid to take the test for me.
No, I definitely
would not be focused on the final. That's for sure.
You can't do that because then that's cheating.
Yeah, well.
If you're caught cheating, then that's an NCAA violation.
Yes, exactly. I'm just kidding. Just saying that's what I would probably do, and I probably wouldn't be playing the following week. But you're absolutely right. You know, their minds aren't going to be in their finals.
But Ron, that's realistic.
Yeah.
It really is. And then, okay, so you cheated. Okay, well, I think that anybody could draw, again, linear logic. I think you could draw that conclusion past my economics 101 final, or play really well and make millions of dollars in the NBA doing what I really love to do. By the way, I'm forced to be here. I think cheat on economics test to keep my grades up is, in that instance, a bit of linear logic.
I would 100% agree. And that goes on to another discussion about how I believe that a lot of times, I mean, I think you could really make a case for collegiate athletes being compensated in some way for their time. I mean, having to, you know, maybe a lot of these guys or some of them are not on scholarship, I'm assuming. A lot of them do have to do multiple things. Including go to school. Some of them may or may not have to work. I mean, they have tons of responsibilities on top of being an elite athlete at the college level.
Two-a-day practices.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that they have to deal with, and the least of which is going to be their Economics 101 final.
Right, and this is, I mean, you said it. This is a whole other topic. Ed O'Bannon, former UCLA Bruin, leading a huge lawsuit against the NCAA, specifically surrounding this type of thing. So we're definitely, I think, approaching that. It'll be interesting to see how it happens. Real quick before we get out, we got to touch on this. In the pro ranks.
Who did it? I was watching the beginning of this game tonight. Earlier, and I had to leave before it happened. But Miami was playing Boston tonight. They're going for 23 in a row. They were down 20 points in the first half. And I was just checking the score here as we were talking, and it looks like they came back and got their 23rd win in a row, 105-103 over the Celtics.
Looking at their upcoming schedule, I mean, what do we see anything on here? Wednesday they've got the Cavaliers. I mean, does anybody think that Cleveland has a chance at stopping them from being at 24? I mean, look at their upcoming schedule. This is a team that honestly I've watched my fair share of basketball, and I don't know of anybody playing better than the Miami Heat right now. And I'm not talking about anybody in the NBA. I'm talking about anybody historically. I cannot think of a single team that has two different guys that can throw a full court baseball alley-oop to another guy to put it home. I don't know. There might not be one guy in the NBA right now that can do that doesn't play for Miami, much less two. I mean, this is crazy. You beat Boston. You're at Cleveland. I like that for a win. You've got Detroit at home. How do you not win that game? Charlotte is a doormat. You've got them at Orlando as a win. At Chicago, I mean, what are we at now? That's 24, 25, 26, 27. At Chicago's your first test, the streak's at 28. Now, that's going to be an interesting game. Everybody circle Wednesday the 27th on your calendar. It's going to work well with your tourney schedule. I know people aren't going to be paying real close attention to the NBA, but Wednesday the 27th at Chicago, because remember, the team that has the record for the longest winning streak, at least one of them, is Chicago. So a lot of pride there for the Bulls. But then, look, if they get past the Bulls, then, you know, at New Orleans is probably a win. At San Antonio, they're far more athletic than San Antonio, even on the road. They've already proven they can beat the Knicks going into April. I mean, looking at the schedule,
it just doesn't really look like anybody's going to be able to stop them, really. I mean, this looks like a team that can only beat itself or get tired. Now that they have got that championship under their belt from last year, it looks as if, especially LeBron, looks like he's playing with a freedom that he's never really shown before. I mean, he's raised his game even more so. There was a play that I saw earlier in the first quarter of tonight's game where he was down low in the paint, faked one way, and went up with his left hand and banked it off the glass. I mean, he wasn't doing that type of thing last year. And he just looks like he has a freedom and a confidence about him that he's only discovered by getting that monkey off of his back of that NBA championship last year, and the whole team is following suit. They're all playing their roles. Dwayne Wade is extremely happy to be Robin to his Batman. It's amazing to watch that team, and they didn't look like they panicked when they were down 17, 18 points in the first half tonight, and it doesn't surprise me that they came back. It's very, very fun to watch that team. And who knows? Maybe LeBron will back up his 6, 7, 8 championships. Who knows? But it looks like they're unstoppable right now.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes, right? So I'm not just trying to help the Star Wars fan out there.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say like, oh, nobody's going to stop this team, but they definitely have a look of a team that can turn it on. And
They close games like nobody's business. When it comes down to the last 6 minutes, they seem to just pin their ears back and shut the other team down with defense and score. I don't know what their field goal percentage. They were talking about it earlier tonight about how it's in the high 60s in the last 60 minutes of games.
It's insane. And here's the thing, right? Here's what I think is being, I won't say overlooked, because people do talk about this, but the reason I say that I haven't seen anybody play better basketball than this, maybe ever, is because I look at those Chicago Bulls teams.
When they had the record, when they went 72 wins.
Right. Look at those teams. Okay, look, it's no question. Until something happens significantly otherwise, there's no question that Michael Jordan is the best player to ever lace him up. Just the numbers alone speak to that. Scottie Pippen, very accomplished basketball player, with or without Michael Jordan, that's debatable, but I would say Scottie Pippen's a very good basketball player.
Without a doubt. I don't think that he would have been the same player had he not played with Jordan, because when Jordan went away, Scottie obviously had learned from Jordan playing during that time when he was away and utilized so much of the same strategy, the same moves, etc. But
you could say that about dozens of players.
Oh, sure.
That their career was altered. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career was altered by the presence of Magic Johnson.
No question about it.
More than people really know. But my point is this. After we take MJ, after we take Scottie Pippen, on any one of those great Bulls teams, who's the third best player on that team?
I don't know. Tony Kukoc? He wasn't there.
You've got a bunch of names like Tony Kukoc, Luke Longley, yeah. Bill Cartwright, Steve Kerr, John Paxson, B.J. Armstrong. I mean, these are the names of Horace Grant. These are the types of names that you have. Are these guys... They're good.
Rodman.
Oh, my God.
Just laugh. Anyway, go on. We won't even talk about it.
I don't even want to know what Rodman's doing right now. he's probably eating Korean food somewhere. So my point about the Heat is this. you take LeBron, and when it's all said and done, we might have a serious conversation about LeBron and MJ. You take D. Wade. Unquestionably, I would say, if you're evaluating the number two man on a team, I'll take D. Wade over Scottie Pippen. I would say that. But then we get to go into the role players on this team. Chris Bosh, very, very underrated player. And if you want to talk about somebody who's playing with a different level of freedom and a different level of understanding of where he fits into this whole thing, he's really turned the corner this year. He started to show signs of it in the playoffs last year. He's really turned the corner this year. Then you've got, oh, I don't know, this guy you might have heard of, Ray Allen. You might know him. Jesus Shuttlesworth? Yeah, he can fill it up. That guy's got a place in the Hall of Fame. Whenever he's done, he's going. You got Shane Battier, wildly, wildly underrated NBA player. Can defend at least three and probably four positions on the floor. Shoots for a high percentage. Off the charts basketball IQ.
And then you got Mr. Energy, the Birdman, who's tough to look at, but he can still block some shots down there in the paint.
And you can just keep going. I mean, this kid Norris Cole. I mean, it just the names just keep coming. It's like you literally have to go like four or five deep before you even get to somebody that you're going, well, he's just an okay player. You look at like any of those great teams. I don't think that we've seen a cast or a core group of players like this, maybe since Celtics, Lakers teams circa the 80s.
It would be nice if they had a clear-cut rival like the Lakers did during that time.
I think the only team that you can put in that conversation right now is Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put them in that stratosphere.
Not yet. Not yet. We'll see how it happens.
And maybe not, because I mean,
and it'll take a few more years to see if that actually plays out.
I think that what would have to happen is that Kevin Durant, they've got to win a title. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
And they have to beat the Heat to do it.
They're going to have to do that. If they could steal a title,
then we've got a rivalry.
Then we've got a story to talk about, because then they're going to start attracting free agents. Yeah. It's going to become a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So very interesting stuff there. You guys, listen, if you haven't already started faking a cough, start your fake cough now. It's too late to ask for vacation days. Ron has a cough. He's not feeling well.
Really sick.
As your employer, I need to alert you that Ron might not be able to make it Thursday. We're going to see. He's going to rest up. He's going to see if he can make it on Friday. I really just don't want to get the rest of the office sick. It's not fair to everybody else.
That's why I'm rooting for UCLA, because my boss is a huge UCLA fan. So if they win, I'll definitely have an excuse to take a couple days off.
We'll see you at work on Friday, Ron. So that's it. That's the show. I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy March Madness. Don't hate Muse. It's not their fault. They just wrote the song. And whatever you do, do me one thing. Keep right.
You have been listening to the Sports Underground Podcast, and you know we always welcome your take. So hit Baron up on Twitter at SportsUG. If Facebook is your thing, go ahead and like it. If you want a download of this program, hit us up on iTunes. And remember, come back next week and get some.